You could be financially independent and never have to worry about money again. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby speaking for the 3-Step Plan. The 3-Step Plan is a business system designed to help families start their own home-based business. We are looking for a few people in this area who would like to earn between $500 and $5,000 a month working from home. If you like working with people with similar family values, you'll love the 3-Step Plan. For information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-424-8752. We will teach you everything you need to know to get your business off and running. You will need internet access, a telephone, and good people skills. Families from all over the nation are using the 3-Step Plan to make extra money, pay off bills, improve their lifestyle, and work from home. Check out the 3-Step Plan. Go to 3stepplan.com or call toll-free 800-424-8752. 800-424-8752.
The British government plans to look into Iraq war errors.
British Prime Minister Gordon Brown has authorised a long-awaited inquiry into the Iraq war that aims to examine mistakes made during and after the 2003 US-led invasion. Gordon Brown will tell Parliament how the inquiry is to be conducted. It's unclear if it's to be held in private or public. Opponents of the Iraq war have urged Brown to allow, in particular, an investigation into the 2002 discussions between former US President George W. Bush and the then British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Charles de Ledesma, London.
The suspected gunman in last week's shooting at the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C. isn't healthy enough to be arraigned this week. James Von Braun is charged with murder for allegedly killing a guard at the museum before being shot in the face by other guards. The Washington Post reports federal prosecutors say Von Braun is in critical but stable condition. Von Braun is 88 years old and linked to an anti-Jewish website. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Ever think about retirement? Certainly, we all do. But there's that uncertainty of what to invest in and the fear of all the ups and downs of the stock market. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a simple and easy way to save for retirement and protect your 401ks and IRAs? Well, there is. It's the Precious Metals IRA. There's never been an easier or safer way to protect your hard-earned savings. Call today to get your information packet on the Precious Metals IRA. Call 800-325-0919.
An Indiana congressman says he thinks Chrysler should not be able to close its franchise dealerships. Congressman Dan Burton says he wonders why the automaker was able to end its franchise agreement with an Indianapolis dealership. Burton is co-sponsoring a bill that would reopen closed dealerships and require Chrysler and General Motors to continue to honor their commitments to auto dealers. Millions of dollars of expensive office furnishings from the R. Allen Stanford financial empire are being liquidated for sale in Florida.
It took more than 24 trucks to unload just the Miami office of
To the radio on the counter, to the one in the dash, to the one at the river on the rock tuned to news, to the one in the shower, the one that lights up, the transistor, potato, and the elevator radio, to the $4,000 speakers in the one-bedroom shack, to the beat-up old boombox in the tool shed out back, and to you, pretty little thing all shiny and new, this one goes out to you.
And radio heard here.
Brought to you by the radio industry and this station to remind you that radio is heard here, radio is heard everywhere.
Hi, I'm Joe Mangiacotti, host of Out With Joe, Sundays at 3 o'clock right here on AM 1060 WBIX. And I want to tell you about a very famous restaurant, one you probably already know about, Ken's Steakhouse. That's right, Ken's Steakhouse on Route 9 on the Framingham Natick Line has for generations provided, well, the best in quality food and service. Hey, Ken and Florence Hanna began that tradition over 60 years ago, and I want you to try Ken's out so much, I'm going to buy you a dessert. That's right. When you stop by Ken's for lunch or dinner, dessert is on me. Just say, Joe's buying dessert, and you choose from their huge selection of fresh, baked, homemade desserts. That's right, with Ken's Bakery right on the premises, you're sure to have the best dessert you can, and it's always better when someone else is buying. So check it out. Stop by Ken's, Route 9 Framingham, and let Joe Mangiacotti from Out With Joe and WBIX take care of the dessert for you. Hey, Ken's, a very famous restaurant.
Reason number 48 to switch to Geico.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge your premium to your credit card. It's easy and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you, you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You're on the money. The daily talk show making the most out of your finances. On the Money features advice from local experts on building wealth, saving and investing, and homes and loans. And now, your host for On the Money.
Good evening. I'm Gary Pomerantz, and I'm here with my colleague Hayden Trump, and you're listening to On the Money, our weekly radio show airing from 6 to 7 every Monday, addressing timely topics of concern to those interested in growing and protecting their wealth.
I'm Hayden Traub. I'm a chartered financial analyst and I've been an investment manager for the past 22 years. I'm the principal of my own firm, Traub Capital Management, based here in Needham. And if you'd like to learn more about me or the firm, you can go to our website, traubcapital.com.
And this is Gary Pomerantz. I'm a certified financial planner and investment advisor and the managing director of Lexington Wealth Management here in Lexington, Mass. I've been a practicing investment advisor and financial planner for over 14 years. If you want more information about our firm, please contact our website at www.lexingtonwealth.com. So before we begin, our lawyers would like us to let you know that the opinions expressed during our show tonight are our own and not the opinions of our respective firms. Also, any information we provide tonight should and cannot be construed as advice specific to your own portfolio. Specific advice could only be rendered after Hayden or I had a thorough understanding of your overall financial situation, your risk tolerance, and your time horizon, which can definitively not happen during the time constraints of this show. The topic of discussion tonight is going to be behavioral finance or the impact of emotion on economic decisions. But before we get there, we always think it's a good idea to start off the week with a recap of what happened last week in the markets and some guidance regarding what we can look forward to this week.
So just to let everybody know, if you're interested in calling in to ask questions during the show, the number is 888-205-2263. And with that, we're going to talk a bit about what happened this past week in the markets and the economy. One of the more notable things that happened last week was that the kind of bellwether 10-year Treasury bond, the bond that a lot of people follow, went above 4% briefly last week, and that triggered a lot of alarms in the sense that people are worried about inflation because of all the money pumping into the system, and I think people are concerned that, you know, that could really take its toll on Treasury bonds, something we've discussed last week. So that was a pretty notable event, although it has come back, and of course, you know, with today's big sell-off, you saw that, you know, Treasury's have held up pretty well. So again, kind of flight to safety. Some other things of note, on a more positive note, last week, retail sales were up for the first time in several months. On the other hand, the reason it was up mostly was due to higher gas prices, which brings us to the next point, which is another negative for the markets, which is that oil has really had a big rise, and we don't have to tell you that. I'm sure everybody's driving and understands that. But oil has price of oil, at least per barrel, has more than doubled off its low, and that's another potential concern that we see out there. It creates a bit of risk of inflation and obviously takes money out of consumers' pocketbooks, which is an important supporter of the economy. That said, sentiment has been improving. There was a survey from the Michigan Survey of Sentiment, which was improving last week, although still pretty weak. So those are some of the highlights that we saw. And we have a few things going to be reported this week, things like housing starts, the PPI or CPI, the consumer price inflation. And the last one is one I'll touch on, which is leading indicators. There's a leading indicator index, and a lot of people think that will be up. And the ironic thing about that is most of the reason it will be up is that one of the measures in that is the stock market. So it's a little bit, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? In other words, is the leading indicator is up because the stock market's up, in which case that's not all that encouraging. Or the leading indicator is up for other reasons, and that's pushing, you know, because sentiment is better and various other things are better. And the stock market's, you know, poised to continue what was a rally up until today. So that's something we're interested. Obviously, we assume listeners are interested in you know, whether that's likely to continue or not in terms of sentiment and the leading indicators going up. And with that, I will take a breath and
also a few things.
Gary has any comments on that?
Yeah, just a few things to think about in the week ahead too. That the International Labor Organization is going to meet from the 15th to the 17th of this week to address the global jobs crisis. I guess leaders from all over the world are going to be meeting to discuss how to deal with the global slowdown. And there's a World Economic Forum going on in Seoul, South Korea right now to discuss the impact of the global financial crisis on the Asian economies as well. And the conference will look at the role of Asia as we emerge from this crisis.
Now, one of the other things we wanted to talk briefly about, and we'll probably do a lot more on this as the weeks go by, but is, you know, is the market attractive or unattractive? That's the million-dollar question, or $64 million question, I guess. Actually, it's probably trillions. You know, there are some positives for the market, but we and when I say we, that's, you know, my opinion or the firm, and this is Hayden speaking, just to clarify, but, you know, we see some pros, for the economy and the market. There's obviously been massive fiscal stimulus. The governments, not just here in the U.S., but China, Japan, other, central banks and governments have been priming the pump to really boost the economies, and it seems to have worked, that we haven't gone into the abyss that some were worried about at the bottom in March. There's other things going on that are positive. There's low inventories, and so there'll have to be some restocking of inventories, and we're starting to probably see the benefits of that. Despite the fact that Treasury rates have come up quite a bit in terms of like the 10-year or 30-year, they're still low by historical standards, and that's definitely a plus. And one of the things that a lot of people have pointed to are the steep yield curve. And generally, a steep yield curve is positive, means banks can borrow cheaply and lend at a better rate longer term. And so that's usually a good thing for banks, but it's generally a good thing for the economy. And another thing people have pointed to as a positive for the stock market is very high cash levels relative to the value of the stock market. And generally, that's been a positive sign. But there's a few negatives. I don't know. Gary, did you have any other positives you can throw in there before I depress everybody?
Actually, at this point, I think you've covered the topics very well, Hayden.
Okay. Well, that said, there's a lot of problems out there. And, you know, one of the biggest concerns I see out there is the valuations. If you look at valuations of, say, the S&P 500, there's a variety of different measures of that. Oh, my God.
At this point, you have to argue that the market might be getting ahead of itself. I think that's really where what many people are thinking about. And if you're thinking in the short term, I mean, in the long term, hopefully things all work out. And we do believe that that even if you're investing today, that it's not if you're stepping into the market slowly, that in fact, you know, it will pay off 3 years, 5 years from now. But the potential mm-hmm. that we are in the midst of a bear market rally is right there right. in front of us. Right. None of us are smart enough to be able to call what's going to happen in the next 3 months or 6 months. And we're always focused in on the long term. But certainly after a run like this, you'd have to think that it's possible that we could be in the midst of a bear market rally.
Right, and that the point is, if you look at the valuations, you get maybe PEs of 16. They're actually probably higher for things like smaller cap companies, you know, the smaller companies in the market. And so the risk is that we've kind of come too far, you know, too fast. That the expected improvement in earnings and the economy are nice, but until they come through, it's hard to justify paying very high multiples. And right now, you know, if you look at the, say, median PE of the S&P 500 based on reported earnings, it's kind of in line with where it's been historically. But that said, you have a lot of negatives out there. We're running incredibly large budget deficits. We have things like where we've had tremendous wealth destruction. The last number I saw was a decline of $13.9 trillion of wealth that people lost. And even last quarter, when the market started to recover in March, for the quarter, wealth was down 16% here in the U.S. And that's actually more than the stock market went down. So that kind of shows you the problems of leverage when you know, I think a lot of that has to do with declining real estate values. And as you know, if you have minimal equity in your real estate and the market goes down, you could lose 100% of your equity. And I think that's why we're seeing a bigger decline in wealth than actually occurred in the stock market.
And there's a time bomb in front of us too that some would argue might be ticking away, and that's commercial real estate, where rents are going down and leverage is extremely high, and at some point the sustainability of that is in question.
Right.
And so we have another leg that's out there, as those leases have to be renegotiated at much lower rents, and the property values and the mortgages that are being carried are so high that we could have, we all just witnessed a large building in Boston to going for half price. And I think ultimately, many more of those might be happening in the near term. And so, I can't tell you that we're out of this.
Right.
I can say that things are bottoming.
Right.
Things are getting less bad, but that right. doesn't necessarily mean that we're out of the woods yet.
Right. And that's the concern. So, I think we, again, we talked last week, long term, I don't think the valuations are particularly bad or particularly good. If you looked back in March, they, you could argue pretty nicely that they were really good. But now with the, 35-40% run up, the valuations are less compelling. But if you're invested for the long term, you're probably fine. So anyway, this is On the Money with Hayden Traub and Gary Pomerantz. And we'll be back in a few minutes after this break.
Traub Capital Management is an investment advisor offering investment management and planning for individuals, families, and small businesses. Traub Capital Management's founder, Hayden Traub, is a chartered financial analyst with 22 years of global investing experience. Traub Capital Management is focused on determining the needs for each client and then maximizing returns relative to risk. For a complimentary review of your portfolio, call 781-453-3929 or visit our website at traubcapital.com.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'd be great if my progress weren't constantly stifled by this outdated play school appliance.
If you're having computer troubles, you should do what my friend did. He had an IT professional take a look at his.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's just made of money.
You don't need to be made of money, dude. Arrow IT installed all the latest virus and spyware protection at a price that fit his budget. They even reconfigured his whole setup.
Yeah, see, but I use my computer for more than just web surfing. It's not a toy. I do all my business from it, and I really can't afford to be without it.
Arrow IT can help your business, too. They design logos, websites. They even designed my buddy a new home office.
Well, that's fantastic, but running a business takes more than just a flashy logo. You also need to get your name out there so you can attract potential customers.
Did I mention that Arrow IT also helped my buddy get his website in all the top search engines?
Oh, really? How do I reach these people?
Arrow IT Solutions is your one-stop shop for custom technology solutions for your home or business. For more information or to set up an appointment, call 413-219-4088 or visit us on the web at aroitsolutions.com.
Now's the time to keep ants out of your house. And each ding you hear is Amdro Ant Block doing just that, killing another ant before it ever gets inside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the perimeter of your home and it kills ants outside so they can't come in. Ant after ant, house after house. Ant Block is a bait ants think is food, so they eat it and die, including the queen. Amdro Ant Block, the most effective home perimeter ant bait, even works on carpenter ants. Find out why Ant Block is better at baitisbetter.com.
Go aboard a Captain John Whale Watch in Plymouth Harbor and cruise in comfort to Stalewagen Bank. Experience the magic of Cape Cod Bay from two observation decks. Or sit in the climate-controlled main cabin and enjoy your favorite foods and beverage from the galley, including cocktails. In no time, you'll be in the feeding grounds of nature's most awesome creatures, humpbacks, finbacks, and mink whales. An experienced naturalist will help you understand the whales and their behavior. New England's most experienced fleet has a 99% sighting since 1977. So make sure your whale watch adventure is with Captain John Boats. Call 1-800-242-2469 for reservations. That's 1-800-242-2469 for the perfect whale watching adventure, sightings guaranteed.
Hello again. This is On the Money with Hayden Traub of Traub Capital Management and Gary Pomerantz of Lexington Wealth Management. We just talked a bit about the economy and the markets, and I think to sum that up, we think the economy, you know, as many people would agree, has probably bottomed out, and we'll start to see some recovery later this year or early next year. But we're still concerned a bit in the shorter term about the valuations in the market, although for long-term investors, probably fine.
I think for long-term investors, it's stick to your overall discipline and keep rebalancing. Yeah. And that's, I mean, literally keep doing what you should have been doing all along, may have been frightened off of doing back in February and March, and get back to your target allocations as the economy continues to improve slowly and surely.
Right. And frightened is maybe the operative word for what we're going to talk about in this session, because it's talking about how people react to fear and other behavioral issues. Before we get into that, I just want to remind people, if you'd like to call in and discuss any of the things we're talking about, the phone number is 888-205-2263. So going back to the fear and behavioral finance, Gary's going to talk a little bit about what that's that topic is.
Right. Classic economic theory teaches us that we're all rational beings that make logical decisions. But certainly the last few months has taught us that that we're not necessarily rational beings. I know that many of my clients decided not to rebalance back into the markets while they were falling. And many of my clients, although most of us don't like to sell our losses, they were really happy to sell their losses during the last few months. And really now, in fact, I could reverse that and say now some clients might even be feeling overconfident that everything's over. And so it's sort of this mentality, you know, that takes us over in times of crisis. And behavioral finance has a lot, it really speaks to that. It's behavioral finance is the melding of psychology with economic theory. It's not a new concept. Economic philosophers like Adam Smith and Jeremy Bentham wrote extensively on the subject. And then they almost, for about the entire 20th century, the concept of emotions and economics was forbidden because neoclassical economists tried to say that that economics wasn't a social science and in fact was a natural science. And so the concept of melding the two was almost derided for a good part of the 20th century. But yet there were still some incredible works done during that time by the French economist Gabriel Tarrier, the American George Katona, the Hungarian Laszlo Garai, and then most recently in 2002, I think really behavioral finance established itself with the award of the Nobel Prize to Daniel Kahneman for his work in behavioral finance concerning human judgment and decision-making under uncertainty. And there are three main themes in behavioral finance and economics. The first would be heuristics, which are the tendency for people to make decisions based on rules of thumb instead of rational analysis. And we see this happening over and over again. And framing, which is the way a problem is presented for the decision maker that will affect their action. So basically, you can impact the way a person makes a decision by framing the discussion in a certain way. And then lastly, market inefficiencies, which are the markets are supposed to be efficient based on neoclassical economics. However, it's clear that at certain instances, such as perhaps going back 4 months ago, that irrationalities exist within the marketplace, and behavioral finance is set up to kind of explain why this all happens. And Hayden, why don't you introduce we have a guest today. Her name is Gail Buff.
Our guest today is Gail Buff. She's joining us today to talk about behavioral finance. Ms. Buff is founder and CEO of investment firm Buff Capital Management. She has a master's in psychiatric nursing as well as an MBA, CFA, and CFP. That's quite a few letters and degrees. She has taught at various levels of college and is currently an adjunct professor at Northeastern. And she has been a frequent speaker on the psychology of investing, including earlier today, as a matter of fact, and has been widely quoted in the media on Kiplinger's, ABCNews.com, and the Wall Street Journal. And she is the former president of the Boston Security Analyst Society. So that's why we invited her in, because she's very knowledgeable about behavioral finance, and we think it's a timely topic given what happened in the last few months. So with that, I think Gail's got a few introductory comments, and then maybe we'll have a little discussion.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for having me here. One of the things that I think is important to recognize when we talk about behavioral finance and the idea that behavior is introduced to the world of finance, which, as Gary mentioned, is considered an area that is dictated by very rational thinking. And in fact, we're of two brains. We don't often think of ourselves as having two brains, but we do with the left side of our brain and the right side, but they act very, very differently. And in fact, our right brain is considered a parallel processor, which means we're processing a lot of information simultaneously, and it's largely unconscious. And it's a very quick, our right brain perceives things very fast, and it's not yet, in fact, processed by our left brain, where we think of things more carefully. And it's more of a serial processor, which means that it's the sort of logic and rationality of classical finance. But when we talk about behavioral finance, we're incorporating the whole other side of our brain, which is, you know, as Gary said, maybe about time to start doing that. And so what we look at in behavioral finance when we talk about the psychology is really understanding what motivates people, and what motivates people, it comes from how people feel and people's emotions, and that's really what we look at. So in sort of recognizing, as you mentioned, Kahneman and Tversky, who won a Nobel Award for their work, largely on something called prospect theory, which deals with loss, they basically understood that loss was a very painful event, and that people react to it emotionally, but before they can really process that pain using the left side of their brain, that immediately the idea of having a significant loss hurts. And in fact, they actually found that a loss was so much more painful than a gain felt good, and that people tended to avoid realizing a loss because they didn't want to have to acknowledge the pain that comes with recognizing, in fact, that you failed, that you made a mistake, and the thing that you thought would do very good things for you and earn you a lot of money, in fact, did not.
You want to talk about how left brain and right brain tend to lead the way, or actually not even work at times when we're in fearful situations, which I think happened to many investors during the course of the last, you know, four or 5 months.
Yeah, what's very interesting is that, though, you know, as we talked about, Tversky mentions loss aversion. And I think in many cases we do see evidence of loss aversion, but I saw a lot of something that I'm going to call uncertainty aversion that happened in these past months. And in fact, what people were saying was, I don't want to hold on to my losses anymore, which is what loss aversion really would be, is holding on to losses too long because you don't want to realize them. You don't want to sell because then you have to acknowledge, oh my God, I made a mistake, and how painful is that? But in fact, people said, I can't stand this anymore. I can't stand the uncertainty. I can't live with the anxiety I'm feeling about not knowing what's going to happen in the future. And based on that feeling, people said, I want to sell everything. Now neither is actually very helpful to in fact say, well, I'm never going to sell because I don't want to recognize that pain. Or on the other hand, to say, sell everything now. There's a cost to doing either. So either isn't necessarily very good. And what you're doing, again, the right-left brain, is that with your right side of your brain, you're reacting emotionally without reflection. So we actually, as human beings, we have a right and left brain. We want to use them both. And ideally, what would happen under situations that are very intense and we react first emotionally is to sort of stand back for a moment and take time out to allow yourself to reflect on the event that's just occurred, which actually what you're doing is bringing in the left side of your brain that has the ability to process information and understand it in a more rational manner. And sometimes, you know, we ourselves aren't in a position where we can immediately do that, which is why we look to our advisors to sort of provide that left brain input. And hopefully the advisor, with perhaps more information at their disposal, can be of help in situations like that. Or talking to someone, to anyone else, it can be helpful in guiding you in terms of that.
Okay, you've been listening to On the Money with Gary Pomerantz and Hayden Traub. And when we come back, we'll be talking about some of the heuristics that lead us astray very often, including something called the gambler's fallacy, where you could...
is an investment advisor offering investment management and planning for individuals, families, and small businesses. Traub Capital Management's founder, Hayden Traub, is a chartered financial analyst with 22 years of global investing experience. Traub Capital Management is focused on determining the needs for each client and then maximizing returns relative to risk. For a complimentary review of your portfolio, call 781-453-3929 or visit our website at traubcapital.com.
You too can be successful at real estate investing. The Eastern Massachusetts Real Estate Investors Association provides a networking and educational venue for both new and seasoned investors alike. Eastern Mass REIA meets the second Thursday of each month at 6:30 p.m. at the Rockland Holiday Inn. We sponsor educational events, seminars, and mentoring for investors of all levels. We are the number one source in the greater Boston area to get deals done. We are open to the public. Join us for our next meeting. Visit EasternMassREIA.com.
Take the Plymouth Ferry to Provincetown. Cruise in comfort and enjoy your trip across Cape Cod Bay without the hassles of a lengthy ride in Cape traffic. En route, enjoy a narrated tour of historic Plymouth Harbor. Before you know it, you're in Provincetown. Spend the day poking around unique shops and galleries. Enjoy a relaxing lunch in one of P-Town's famous restaurants. Experience Cape Cod's National Seashore. Captain John Boat's large, comfortable vessels feature an enclosed galley with your favorite foods and beverages, including cocktails, and a helpful, friendly crew. So travel to P-Town in style with Captain John Boats. Reservations call 508-747-2400. That's 508-747-2400. 10 a.m. departures daily from Mayflower to State Pier in Plymouth. Returns at 6 p.m. Take the express route to P-Town. Call 508-747-2400.
Cubicles, temporary housing for the business world. Corporate America's way of saying close but no cigar, or door, or dignity. These open-air monuments to labor leave you exposed to all the workplace elements, and yet there you sit every day waiting to upgrade. Well, at Budget Rent-A-Car, we're in the upgrading business. To prove it, we're offering you the big boy upgrade. A single-class upgrade every time you rent a car. It's just one more way Budget is upgrading the entire rental car experience. We call it big boy service without the big boy prices. Too long a motto to hang in a cube, but a good way to make sure that all the services we offer, from e-receipt to fast break, get you on the road faster and happier. So if you want the big boy upgrade, stick a note on that half a wall you call a workstation and remind yourself to rent like a genius. Show off your business sense and you can get a single class upgrade every time you rent. Just go to budget.com/upgrade. Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Subject to availability. See website for full terms and conditions.
Hello, you're listening to On the Money. This is Hayden Traub. Just as a refresher, I'm a CFA and a practicing investment manager for the past 22 years, and the principal of my own firm, Traub Capital Management, based here in Needham.
And I'm Gary Pomerantz. I'm a financial planner and an investment advisor. Been in business for about 14 years, and I'm also the managing director of Lexington Wealth Management. And we're here today with Gail Buff, who is an expert in behavioral finance, and our topic is behavioral finance. It's how emotions impact our rational decisions, and how that all works into how we do things, how we invest, and certainly given what we've gone through over the course of the last 6 months, an incredibly interesting topic. If you would like to call in, if you feel like we've piqued your curiosity and you'd like to call in, please dial in at 888-205-2263, and we would love to hear from you. And we talked about heurisms, which are sort of things we're hardwired to do without even realizing it. All of us have them. And one of them, they're rules of thumb. We summarize situations when we process them, and we apply rules of thumb to them without really thinking about it. And it causes us to make decisions based on either too little information or very general information. And one of these things that I'm always fascinated with is the gambler's fallacy. And probably all of us have done it. You're at a casino in Las Vegas, and you're at a slot machine, and the slot machine has lost for 24, times in a row, and you've been counting, and then you get on the slot machine thinking your chance is greater of winning because that slot machine happened to, miss the last 24 people. Or if you were flipping a coin, and it flipped heads 8 times in a row, that you think you have a greater chance on the 9th time that it's going to flip tails, which is absolutely incorrect. It's just a 50% chance every single time you flip a coin. So, Gail, why not speak to gambler's fallacy and how it might have impacted people over the course of the last 3 or 4 months as they're trying to get back into the markets?
Well, you know, I think part, just going back to what gambler's fallacy is and why it occurs, people, and we all do this, we see patterns sometimes where things, there is no pattern. Things happen randomly. And that's what tossing a coin is all about. I mean, it's a random event. So if you have a string of heads, people start to see a pattern and believe, of course, then the next one is going to be tails because they know it just can't just keep coming up heads forever. And, you know, it could. It's a random event, has a 50% chance, as Gary said. But we do, and I think it's our tendency to find meaning that we live in a world, in fact, where a lot of randomness exists, and because many of us don't understand the rules of probability, it's very hard for us, and we make up stories in our minds to deal with things occurring, such as the heuristics and mental shortcuts that we take. So you know, it's very interesting in terms of things that are random. In fact, not seeing them, not understanding the cause and effect of relationships. And I think in terms of how that relates to the current market, we've had certainly a string of losses, and the market lately has turned up some. So now people think, well, this must be, you know, a run now. You know, maybe this is a bull market. And, you know, it may or may not be. The market goes up and down, and the market always goes up and down. And you know, even within a day, the market is both, you know, going up and down. But, you know, and maybe that's a significant move on that day, and maybe it isn't. Mm. But we want to look at and see patterns. So I think that sometimes we do the same thing. We order what we see in the same way that we get into trouble with the gambler's fallacy or the mental trap of assuming causality and assuming relationships that really just aren't there. But certainly a very natural thing for all of us to do.
We talked a bit about the rules of thumb that kind of guide us. How about framing? Just the concepts of framing, the way a problem or decision might be presented to you may impact the way you answer the question that's presented.
Well, you know, I gave you a really good story about this, which to me is very fascinating. Someone, Dan Arley, a behavioral researcher who's actually in Boston, I believe he's out of Harvard, interviewed people and told them to think. Now, this is an anchor. An anchor is something that just gets stuck in our minds. And told people to think about the last 2 digits of their social security number. And that became an anchor for them. And then he asked them to price various items and how much they would pay for those items. Well, what he found out was that the people who had the highest numbers in the last 2 of their social security numbers priced all the future items that they were being shown at a much higher level. And the reason has nothing to do with the value of what those items should be. It strictly was a relationship between someone's social security number, which served as an anchor. They were remembering those 2 numbers and then making maybe some small adjustments to the value of these various items that they were assigning, which is just phenomenal. And because obviously everyone's social security number is a random event and has absolutely no relationship at all to asking, you know, what would you pay for this pizza, which has special topping on it, or what would you pay for this other household item?
Well, it's the same reason that everything costs $19.99 and not $20, right?
Right.
We all anchor to
right.
the lower
and, number. And retailers are superb at this. For example, on a menu, you might see a steak for $50 and then see, you know, maybe chicken for $35. And for me, paying $35 for an entree for chicken is a lot of money. But then when you see the filet mignon or the very nice steak at $50, suddenly, you know, relatively, I mean, you're thinking, well, you know, maybe $35. But you're being forced, in a sense, by the frame of that to choose the chicken. And if you saw just the chicken for $35, I bet it'd be a lot easier to walk away from that entree. Mm. But yes, that happens in retail all the time. And we all get caught up in that trap.
And in auto sales, it happens all the time. I know. There's a sticker price that you walk in, you look at when you see a car. Wouldn't that be a form of anchoring? Mm-hmm. You look at a car that's worth $20,000, you walk into the dealership, and you feel like you're getting a deal when they sell it to you for $18,000, even though they built it and invoiced it at $12,000, right? So it's happening to us all the time, this anchoring. What we tend to do in investments when we anchor Hayden, you might want to talk a little bit about this. It's also something that, that impacts us in the investment world.
Yeah, I mean, part of the issue is people focus on either what they paid for something or they focus on what it used to be worth. So if they owned a stock and it went from 50 to 100 and they actually have really good gains and then it goes back down to 80, in some people's mind, they view themselves as having a loss and that they don't, you know, there's a lot of literature out there that people kind of focus on what the highs were for a stock as opposed to what the stock is worth. Because it doesn't matter, you know, if you go back to the bubble of the late 90s, you know, you have situations where stocks went to ridiculous levels. And so it really doesn't matter what the stock was trading at when, you know, you have these stocks that are, you know, at hundreds of dollars a share when in fact they were probably only worth maybe a few dollars a share. And that's, you know, but people get kind of hung up on that. And, you know, it becomes a problem in terms of, you know, how people invest, because if they're not thinking about what the real value is and just thinking about what it used to be worth, it, you know, they make bad decisions.
You know, another good example about framing that researchers have found, and it's actually changing the behavior of employers and industry in this country, is how 401k plans are designed for savings. They found, in fact, people's participation in 401k plans is really very, sadly, very low. I think it's like about 20%. And when they changed how they did it, instead of having people opt in, which is how plans exist now, they changed the frame of it to say that you can opt out of the 401k plan, which means you're automatically enrolled, and then it's up to you if you'd like not to be enrolled and to have money automatically taken out of your paycheck each week to opt out. And in fact, they found when they did that, the participation rates went way, way up, and people, in fact, did not choose to opt out. Some did, but very, very few. And you know, it was just a wonderful thing.
That's an example of status quo bias, right? Whatever you have going for you.
Well, a little bit of inertia.
Yeah,
to sign up is an action. You have to do something. And in fact, once you've opted, once it's automatic for you and you're automatically signed up, the inertia to sign out, to opt out, again, it's an event. You have to do something. So basically, you're using, in fact, something that you understand about someone's behavior for their benefit. Mm-hmm. And now I know this sounds a little bit like Big Brother, but you know, I think something like that is innocuous enough, and it's so helpful for people to have that sort of discipline. I know people have Christmas clubs and things like that, and it's sort of the same thing. You want to set up some system where you can automatically have money taken out of your paycheck or some other way to force yourself to save. And sometimes we all need some sort of outside discipline to get us to do the thing that we sort of know is in our best interest.
Right. Absolutely. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Gary Pomerantz and Hayden Trubb. This is On the Money. And the topic of discussion today is behavioral finance, or how emotions impact us during in our decision making, and specifically today, how it impacts us in the financial arena.
And our guest is Gail Buff of Buff Capital Management. If you'd like to call in, the number is 888-205-2263. You know, one of the things I think is important is, you know, why does this matter to investors? And I think about what happened the last few months, because we saw a lot of people, you know, pulling out and letting emotions kind of drive their decision making. So maybe when we come back from the break, we can talk about, you know, what happened the last few months and what people can do differently. It might help them, you know, kind of maximize their returns going forward. This is On the Money with Gary Pomerantz and Hayden Traub.
Traub Capital Management is an investment advisor offering investment management and planning for individuals, families, and small businesses. Traub Capital Management's founder, Hayden Traub, is a chartered financial analyst with 22 years of global investing experience. Traub Capital Management is focused on determining the needs for each client and then maximizing returns relative to risk. For a complimentary review of your portfolio, call 781-453-3929 or visit our website at traubcapital.com.
Hello? Hey, Dave, it's George. How are you doing? I'm calling to ask you a question.
Hey, Margie and I are doing great. We're living at North Hill now and loving it. What's the question?
Sarah and I have been waiting to move to North Hill for some time, but we haven't been able to sell our house. I see your house is still on the market, and yet you've made the move. How did you do that?
Easy. North Hill has something called the Dream Bridge Loan. It provides up to 12 months of interest-free bridge financing. It's a terrific offer. You should call on it.
Interesting. Sarah would be pleased if I told her we could move to North Hill before the house is sold. Thanks for the information.
One other thing, George. North Hill also has a new monthly service fee incentive. Depending on when you come in, you can have your service fee waived 30, 60, and even 90 days. Check that offer out as well.
Thanks, Dave. I'm glad I called you.
To learn more about North Hill's Dream Bridge Loan and Service Fee Incentive Program, call 781-433-6524. 781-433-6524.
Trout Capital Management is an investment advisor offering investment management and planning for individuals, families, and small businesses. Trout Capital Management's founder, Hayden Trout, is a chartered financial analyst with 22 years of global investing experience. Trout Capital Management is focused on determining the needs for each client and then maximizing returns relative to risk. For a complimentary review of your portfolio, call 781-453-3929 or visit our website at troutcapital.com.
There's a place for you, a time and a place for you, and it's the Southbridge Hotel and Conference Center, the area's foremost location to have your event. And the staff at the Southbridge Hotel and Conference Center are anxious to help you plan your special event with them. With outstanding spacious facilities that can accommodate a small business meeting or a lavish wedding or a gathering of friends and family after a memorial service, the Southbridge Hotel and Conference Center will provide you with the very best arrangements possible. And if your gathering requires breakfast, lunch, or dinner, the executive chef and his culinary team will give you outstanding menu choices for you to choose from. The Southbridge Hotel and Conference Center team has pleased many local and regional organizations and businesses with wonderful accommodations and events. They certainly will be very happy to do the same for you. And then you too can join the long list of satisfied customers who experience the best hospitality possible and the many compliments it brings.
Hi, I'm Jen Casey, the sales manager at the Southbridge Hotel and Conference Center. Can we host your event or special party? Call me at 508-765-8000.
The Southbridge Hotel and Conference Center, 14 Mechanic Street, Southbridge. Simply the best.
Hello again. You're listening to On the Money. This is Hayden Traub, and I'm here with my co-host, Gary Pomerantz, and we also have a guest in the studio today, Gail Buff. If you'd like to call in and ask any questions, the number is 888-205-2263, and our topic today is behavioral finance. And before the break, we were just talking about what happened really in the last year as investors. Not so much the last few months when the market recovered, but in the last year when people kind of freaked and got scared. And one of the things that I think is important for people to understand about what goes on in the market is that, if you watch the news and you watch what's going on in the world, you see a lot of bad news. And a lot of people believe that if all they're hearing about is negative news and the market going down and so on, that means they should sell. People feel compelled to take action. And when they hear all the bad news, the logical thing is you want to sell. When in fact, the stock market, unlike a lot of other things, actually often works the opposite way. And part of that is the fact that investors, having seen or anticipated all this bad news, have already sold. So that's why if you think back to late 2007 when this, when the stock market began its decline, the news actually wasn't that bad. It was generally pretty good with some little cracks showing up. Yet the market was going down and going down pretty dramatically. And even in 2008, we saw big declines before the news got really bad. So what tends to happen is the news often follows the stock market because investors are smart enough to anticipate what's coming ahead. And it's not easy to do. But the key is that investors shouldn't feel like they need to sell because they hear bad news, or buy because they hear good news. And I think the best examples of that, if you think back to 1999 when we had the huge bubble and particularly the technology stocks, all the news was good, and that turned out to be a terrible time to invest. And if you think back 3 or 4 months from in the past, pretty much all the news was bad, and investors, as it turned out, that probably was a good time to invest. So.
And certainly if you're sticking to your disciplined approach of investing, you have a balanced portfolio, it should be guiding you to buy when the market's low and just sell when the market is high. That's equities on both sides. And so as long as you've set your asset allocation correctly, you shouldn't have been spooked too badly. The problem is most people aren't expecting a 30% loss on the equity piece of their portfolio. But history has shown us that the market bounces back very strongly, usually, from most of those severe market crashes. And in a very short period of time, if you're not there, it's hard to get your money back. The discipline of staying with it and rebalancing back in and buying stocks from the low, incredibly important when you go through difficult times like that. And how behavioral finance is linked to all of this is herd behavior, I think, is one example of that. Gail, why don't you talk a little bit about how, we all have animals' instincts inside of us. The fight or flight impulse hits us. Our brain shuts down. The left brain doesn't talk to the right brain. The right brain doesn't talk to the left brain. And here we find ourselves getting ready to sell all our assets in the middle of a downturn. Why is that, Gail?
You know, it has to do with this sort of left and right brain processing. And I think some of the overall context of any situation, we tend to underrate when, in fact, context is huge. And given the kind of market situation that we were in, it's very hard not, in fact, to react with the right brain, which is immediate, because you're being so stimulated by such, tremendous, extraordinary market conditions that we really haven't seen, at least not in our lifetimes before. So it's very hard in situations like that to sort of step back and reflect, which is what your left processing brain is doing. And so why we react the way we do is because of the overall context. We always have two brains. We always have left and right. And the idea is we want to balance and integrate both. But in extreme situations, there are some situations where it's very easy for us to turn off our emotions and just be all businesslike, when we're at work. And in that context, right. We're maybe not in that moment thinking about our children or our families or something in that way, but we've got our left brain rational mode thinking on. But in a very highly emotional situation, being the backdrop
such as your retiree and your life savings is at stake,
right,
and you've
absolutely.
Just seen it decline by 20%.
Absolutely. It's
right?
Very, very hard to remain rational and to think clearly. You can't think clearly. Even if you think of yourselves in the heat of an argument or a debate or something that you're involved in that you're just passionate about, there's going to be a lot of right brain processing going on. It's very hard to sort of, stop for a moment and think very clearly.
All right. So Gail, we get it. We get it. We understand there are eurisms. We know we're hardwired to do certain things. Maybe if we understand some of that hardwiring, are there things that we can do to stop ourselves from falling into these traps?
Right. And it goes to some of that discipline, like the opt-out for the 401k. Sometimes, certainly, there are things we ourselves can do. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But also to understand there are things that outside of you, you can use for support.
Would that be the portfolio, the discipline of portfolio rebalancing, for instance?
The discipline of, exactly, right. Portfolio rebalancing.
Doing your financial planning, for instance, beforehand, understanding
right.
that those were your goals before things went down.
That's
and
right.
Then
reviewing what your objectives are, going back and reviewing really what's your risk capacity. Most people think risk has to do with how you feel about risk. That's a component, but it's also your risk capacity, which is a little different. Risk capacity speaks to the amount of available resources, what you do for a job. If there's a high probability that you could be laid off in your job, that's really going to affect your portfolio and how much risk you can bear. So it's a good time to look at all those things.
And how about when you're getting ready to make a rash decision, perhaps in a down market? Is it always a good idea, and I find it very helpful with my clients, to go back to the planning before everything fell apart and look at what their goals were?
Absolutely.
Because very, very
yes.
often when they were clear-headed and thinking about everything, they decided to set their risk tolerance at, 40% stocks and 60% bonds, yet the market's falling, and here they're saying, no, I want it to be 10% stocks and 90%. And they know that they need to buy stocks when they're low, but yet they opt out at the worst possible time. And going back and reviewing it, isn't that incredibly, I find that yes. to be incredibly important.
Well, and something else, you know, we were talking earlier about the gambler's fallacy and how a run of anything, we just assume, you know, it'll either go on or reverse, or there's some casualty or some pattern that we are picking up that really isn't there. And the same is true for the stock market. I think what happens with that is that people believe, based on the most recent past experience, which is there's something, you know, a mental shortcut here that we do, and it's called the availability heuristic, where last in is the first out. And really what we're saying is that the thing in our most recent memory is what we highlight. And we believe that thing will go on and on and on, and we don't understand.
So the market's falling, it's going to continue to fall.
It's going to continue to fall.
And I'm going to lose all my money, I have to get out now.
No, absolutely, and it's very hard for people to see that it can change on a dime, and does.
How do you, I had some clients that did pull out of the market. I tried to talk them out of it, but they absolutely pulled out of the market, and then they had to try to guess when to get back in, and they got... Right. You know, this double whammy of when do you get in exactly. Yeah. So is there how would you use these heuristics or to your advantage if you're an investor?
Well, I think it's very hard sometimes if you're the person with the intense emotionality, sometimes it's very hard to sit yourself down and have a heart to heart. You know, sometimes you actually have to rely on other people as support to help you. To talk it out with someone. That's one thing. And another is just to understand yourself. I always say this, to know yourself and know how in certain situations you are going to react. And if you look in the past, you can look at certain intense situations. And we all have sort of our characteristic ways of being in the world. And the ways in which we react to feeling overwhelmed and feeling anxious, everyone's unique and we all react in our own ways. To look at that and understand what it is for yourself. So then when a crisis comes or you are in a very intense time and you're reacting in this way, it'll be easier to stop yourself because you would have learned something about your own behavior. And then you would have learned what kinds of things you can do in those moments to help yourself when you know that you're most vulnerable.
So in other words, do your planning.
Yes.
Right, before it all happens, right, so that you don't have to deal with it right at the end. Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things I often talk to clients about is, you know, are you comfortable with this allocation, stocks versus bonds, given the fact that, you know, you could get a decline in the stock market of about 50%. I mean, we've had in the last 35 years now, there's been roughly three times where the market fell roughly 50%. We actually got a bigger decline this time, which I think is part of why people got spooked. But I think by saying that to people, at least it puts it out there and people can kind of think, okay, you know, can I
what
live
would
through
happen?
That?
Yeah.
But of course, when the time comes, you know, people aren't quite as comfortable as they were when, you know, it was just kind of this pie in the sky idea.
Right. That's a good point, though, that I think we all are in our profession can do a better job of explaining to our clients the risks of investing in the equity markets and what those, you know, then help to model with clients. How they might react in a difficult time like that.
But, you know, it does help to go through the experience of it because the hard part is imagining an event that you haven't yet experienced, trying to imagine what you'll feel like when it occurs. It's difficult. So with the best of intentions and trying to set those expectations for people, I think even better is going through an experience like the one we've been through and using that experience to build on going forward. And
Gail, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Our topic is in behavioral finance. To all of you listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning into us this evening. This is Gary Pomerantz. I've been a financial planner and investment manager for over 14 years. I'm the managing director of Lexington Wealth Management. If you want to learn more about the firm, please check out our website at www.lexingtonwealth.com. And thanks so much for listening to Gary Pomerantz and Hayden Traub tonight on The Money Show.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
And the Money Matters Network.
Gary Pomerantz, Managing Director of Lexington Wealth Management, is a certified financial planner and investment manager. He has been successfully leading clients through wealth transitions such as retirement, inheritance, or sale of business for over 14 years. If these turbulent times have left you in need of a comprehensive review of your financial strategy and condition, please contact Mr. Pomerantz to set up a complimentary consultation at 800-626-1566. That's 800-626-1566.
Traub Capital Management is an investment advisor offering investment management and planning for individuals, families, and small businesses. Traub Capital Management's founder, Hayden Traub, is a chartered financial analyst with 22 years of global investing experience. Traub Capital Management is focused on determining the needs for each client and then maximizing returns relative to risk.
For a complimentary review of your portfolio, call 781-453-3929 or visit our website at traubcapital.com.
You're listening to the Money Matters.